Today is the 26th day of June. Welcome. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the campfire as we gather in together as a community from all four corners of the world, from everywhere. So grateful. So grateful that we can be here together today and take the next step forward on the grand adventure that is the Bible, and that we get to share a year of life together as we immerse ourselves each and every day, every chapter, every verse, every word of the scriptures. And we have worked our way to the book of 2 Kings at this point. And we'll pick up exactly where we left off yesterday. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 14 through 10, verse 31 today. Then Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram and all Israel had been at Ramoth-Gilead on guard against King Hazael of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought against Aram's King Hazael. Jehu said, "If you commanders wish to make me king, then don't let anyone escape from the city to go tell about it in Jezreel." Jehu got into his chariot and went to Jezreel, since Joram was laid up there and King Ahaziah of Judah had gone down to visit Joram. Now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel. He saw Jehu's mob approaching and shouted, "I see a mob." Joram responded, "Choose a rider and send him to meet them, and have him ask, 'Do you come in peace?'" So a horseman went to meet Jehu and said, "This is what the king says. Do you come in peace?" Jehu replied, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." The watchman reported, "The messenger reached them but hasn't started back." So he sent out a second horseman who went to them and said, "This is what the king asks. Do you come in peace?" Jehu answered, "What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me." Again, the watchman reported, "He reached them but hasn't started back. Also, the driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman." "Get the chariot ready," Joram shouted, and they got it ready. Then King Joram of Israel and King Ahaziah of Judah set out, each in his own chariot, and met Jehu at the plot of land of Naboth the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked, "Do you come in peace, Jehu?" He answered, "What peace can there be as long as there is so much prostitution and sorcery from your mother Jezebel?" Joram turned around and fled, shouting to Ahaziah, "It's treachery, Ahaziah!" Then Jehu drew his bow and shot Joram between the shoulders. The arrow went through his heart, and he slumped down in his chariot. Jehu said to Bidkar, his aide, "Pick him up and throw him on the plot of ground belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember when you and I were riding side by side behind his father Ahab, and the Lord uttered this pronouncement against him. As surely as I saw the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons yesterday, this is the Lord's declaration. So will I repay you on this plot of land. This is the Lord's declaration. So now, according to the word of the Lord, pick him up and throw him on the plot of land." When King Ahaziah of Judah saw what was happening, he fled up the road toward Bet-Eglon. Jehu pursued him, shouting, "Shoot him too!" So they shot him in his chariot at Gur Pass near Ibleam. But he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then his servants carried him to Jerusalem in a chariot and buried him in his ancestor's tomb in the city of David. It was in the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, that Ahaziah had become king over Judah. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard about it, so she painted her eyes, fixed her hair, and looked down from the window. As Jehu entered the city gate, she said, "Do you come in peace, Zimri, killer of your master?" He looked up toward the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses, and Jehu rode over her. Then he went in, ate and drank, and said, "Take care of this cursed woman and bury her, since she's a king's daughter." But when they went out to bury her, they did not find anything but the skull, the feet, and the hands. So they went back and told him, and he said, "This fulfills the Lord's word that he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the plot of land at Jezreel, the dogs will eat Jezebel's flesh. Jezebel's corpse will be like manure on the surface of the ground in the plot of land at Jezreel, so that no one will be able to say, 'This is Jezebel.'" Since Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, Jehu wrote letters and sent them to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to the guardians of Ahab's sons, saying, "Your master's sons are with you, and you have chariots, horses, a fortified city, and weaponry. So when this letter arrives, select the most qualified of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house." However, they were terrified and reasoned, "Look, two kings couldn't stand against him. How can we?" So the overseer of the palace, the overseer of the city, the elders and the guardians sent a message to Jehu, "We are your servants, and we will do whatever you tell us. We will not make anyone king. Do whatever you think is right." Then Jehu wrote them a second letter saying, "If you are on my side, and if you will obey me, bring me the heads of your master's sons at this time tomorrow at Jezreel." All 70 of the king's sons were being cared for by the city's prominent men. When the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and slaughtered all 70, put their heads in baskets, and sent them to Jehu at Jezreel. When the messenger came and told him, "They have brought the heads of the king's sons," the king said, "Pile them in two heaps at the entrance of the city gate until morning." The next morning, when he went out and stood at the gate, he said to all the people, "You are innocent. It was I who conspired against my master and killed him. But who struck down all these? Know then that not a word the Lord spoke against the house of Ahab will fail, for the Lord has done what he promised through his servant Elijah." So Jehu killed all who remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, all his great men, close friends, and priests, leaving him no survivors. Then he set out and went to Samaria. On the way, while he was at Bet-Eked of the shepherds, Jehu met the relatives of King Ahaziah of Judah and asked, "Who are you?" They answered, "We are Ahaziah's relatives. We've come down to greet the king's sons and the queen mother's sons." Then Jehu ordered, "Take them alive." So they took them alive and then slaughtered them at the pit of Bet-Eked, 42 men. He didn't spare any of them. When he left there, he found Jehonadab, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He greeted him and then asked, "Is your heart one with mine?" "It is," Jehonadab replied. Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand, and Jehu pulled him up into the chariot with him. Then he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he let him ride with him in his chariot. When Jehu came to Samaria, he struck down all who remained from the house of Ahab in Samaria, until he had annihilated his house, according to the word of the Lord spoken to Elijah. Then Jehu brought all the people together and said to them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu will serve him a lot. Now therefore summon to me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. None must be missing, for I have a great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing will not live." However, Jehu was acting deceptively in order to destroy the servants of Baal. Jehu commanded, "Consecrate a solemn assembly for Baal." So they called one. Then Jehu sent messengers throughout all Israel, and all the servants of Baal came. No one failed to come. They entered the temple of Baal, and it was filled from one end to the other. Then he said to the custodian of the wardrobe, "Bring out the garments for all the servants of Baal." So he brought out their garments. Then Jehu and Jehonadab, son of Rechab, entered the temple of Baal. And Jehu said to the servants of Baal, "Look carefully to see that there are no servants of the Lord here among you, only servants of Baal." Then they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had stationed 80 men outside, and he warned them, "Whoever allows any of the men I am placing in your hands to escape will forfeit his life for theirs." When he finished offering the burnt offering, Jehu said to the guards and officers, "Go in and kill them. Don't let anyone out." So they struck them down with a sword. Then the guards and officers threw the bodies out and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. They brought out the pillar of the temple of Baal and burned it, and they tore down the pillar of Baal. Then they tore down the temple of Baal and made it a latrine, which it still is today. Jehu eliminated Baal worship from Israel, but he did not turn away from the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had caused Israel to commit, worshipping the gold calves that were in Bethel and Dan. Nevertheless, the Lord said to Jehu, "Because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, 4 generations of your sons will sit on the throne of Israel." Yet Jehu was not careful to follow the instruction of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins that Jeroboam had caused Israel to commit. Acts 17. After they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went into the synagogue and on 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, including a large number of God-fearing Greeks, as well as a number of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and they brought together some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. Attacking Jason's house, they searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, These men who have turned the world upside down have come here too, and Jason has welcomed them. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus. The crowd and the city officials who heard these things were upset. After taking a security bond from Jason and the others, they released them. As soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too, agitating and upsetting the crowds. Then the brothers and sisters immediately sent Paul away to go to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions for Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed when he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with those who worshipped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also debated with him. Some said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Others replied, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign deities, because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection." They took him and brought him to the Areopagus and said, "May we learn about this new teaching you are presenting? Because what you say sounds strange to us, and we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners residing there spent their time on nothing else but telling or hearing something new. Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man, he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so that they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Since, then, we are God's offspring, we shouldn't think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image fastened by human art and imagination. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to ridicule him, but others said, "We'd like to hear more from you again about this." So Paul left their presence. However, some people joined him and believed, including Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Psalm 144, A King's Prayer of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for warfare. He is my faithful love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer. He is my shield, and I take refuge in him. He subdues my people under me. Lord, what is a human that you care for him? A son of man that you think of him? A human is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Lord, part your heavens and come down. Touch the mountains, and they will smoke. Flash your lightning and scatter the foe. Shoot your arrows and rout them. Reach down from on high to everything that's going on around here. The thing that is really up on the radar here is coming up on the 7th of July. This is our daily audio Bible holiday that we call the Long Walk. And kind of already unpacked that. This is a long tradition. This goes back to 2007, so this is the 20th year of it. And it really is a day that makes a difference if we embrace the day. And that's why it's become this tradition. And there's even music that is really, really suited for it. And you can find that in the music section, in the community section, you'll see of the app. You'll see music. And the Heart album, Songs from the Heart, is really a record I wrote to truly address, without words, the emotions that we experience. And that is a really good resource for the Long Walk. But the Long Walk is the Long Walk. Like, that's what it is. Very simple. Take the day. Take it off. Get in your car or get on your bike or whatever. Go somewhere beautiful, whether near or far. Slow down, disconnect from technology and from the massive amount of time suck that everything can be in that world. Slow down. Slow down enough to listen to the birds. Slow down enough to watch the breeze and the trees. Slow down enough to see that life is happening all around you if you pay attention. And go for a long walk. The kind of walk that you would go for if you were falling in love. The kind of walk where time does not even count or even matter. Take a day, walk with God. Say everything that's going on. Everything that you need to unpack and unravel. Everything that's happening because you have time for it. Just that alone. Just articulating out loud to God, walking with you, everything that's going on in your work, in your family, in your community, in your health, in your heart, in your mind, everything that's going on, get it out and know that you're being present to God and He is being present to you. And then listen. Listen. Listen for the still small voice. Listen for direction and clarity on what the second half of the year is supposed to look like. You'll get back more than a day. You can take a day and you'll get back so much more than a day for dedicating it to God. And, well, frankly, He's been waiting for this opportunity. So take this opportunity to spend time with God on a long walk. And that is a very individual thing, but you won't be doing it alone. I'll be doing it along with thousands and thousands of others who will be doing it. And so it's individual, but it's communal. We know we're not alone in it. But wherever you go, man, take a picture, take a selfie, shoot a video, Not only so that you can remember that day and what it meant to you, but we put up a post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible, for the long walk. And you can comment in that post, upload your pictures. Share what your day was like. And that opens windows into each other's lives. We get to just peek in for a second and see that we're not alone on this journey. But also to see what the day looked like all around the world, and that's a lot of fun. So make plans for that. I've got my plans. Hope you got your plans. The 7th of July. They still exist as well. So Paul's in Athens, and he's in a kind of a very melting pot of a culture, very open to new ideas. And so rather than looking for Jewish people, he spoke to whoever would listen. And his approach changed, right? So he gets in front of a lot of philosophical people in the Areopagus, and he says, "Men of Athens, I can see that you're very religious in every way. I was walking along, I saw all your shrines, and I found one of your altars had an inscription that said, 'To an unknown God.' I'd like to tell you about that God." So Paul's comfortable opening the scriptures with very devout, very close-minded Jews, but just as easily he's fine sharing the good news one-on-one with a dungeon keeper, or fine walking into a wildly diverse spiritual melting pot and saying, I've found what you're looking for. Paul's objective isn't winning a theological battle. His objective is not to bring shame or condemnation for sin. His objective was to try to discern the needs and posture of who he was speaking to. And we see that in the life of Jesus very clearly. And only then could he invite them forward into eternal life, once there was a connection. So there's many ways to share the gospel. Most of them don't require words. Nothing more than a good ear for listening is required. And as we continue in our own calling to the great commission of Jesus to go into all the world, let's be mindful that it isn't about us. Sharing the good news isn't about us. It's about who we're interacting with. No matter what the context or situation is, that's Jesus' ministry style. That's what we're aiming for. We're trying to become Christ-like. And we won't find a greater standard than that, to live the truth on the outside and on the inside, so that, there's nothing false. Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. We thank you for these stories that are so riveting and rooted in actual geography, actual places where they actually happened, and that we're able to see, touch, feel in this world today, and imagine, and then realize that humanity has gone through all kinds of shifts, but our hearts, the things that pull us forward as human beings, remain the same, and we are all reaching beyond ourselves for you. And we who believe are carrying that good news in our hearts. May it shine forth in all that we do and all that we say, not only what we say. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. All new, brand new. I mean, we're pretty much still getting completely moved in. It's like 5 years to build something that now we're a couple months into it, and it's all working and getting stable. And mentioned that there was an update, 2.0.2. Make sure that you have that. That stabilizes a lot of things. So be familiar with that. And then, been talking about it for a couple days, we have our Daily Audio Bible annual holiday coming up on the 7th of July. It is the day that we call the Long Walk. And if you're new here, it's very simple. If you have done it for years, then you know the drill. This is a day in the center of the year that we set aside for exactly what it's called, a long walk. Go somewhere beautiful, whether near or far, get out in nature, disconnect from technology, slow the world down, see the life that is happening all around us, whether that be the breeze in the trees, or the squirrels, or the birds, everything that is going on around us. Life is happening all around us, and we don't pay attention. Rarely do we ever slow down enough to pay attention. Go for a long walk. You know all that stress and anxiety that's been building up that you're running from? You know the shame and the regret that you are suppressing? That's not doing anybody any good. None of that stuff is doing anybody any good. It's part of it. It's part of our experience. It's part of our maturity, but go for a long walk with God where you can unravel and untangle and unpack and tear apart those things. Say everything that you need to say in an unhurried environment where time really isn't the important thing. Presence is the important thing. Say it all. He already, like, there's nothing you are going to keep secret from God. And he will still be present to you if you will draw near to him. Say it all. And then create space to listen for the still small voice about what the second half of the year is supposed to look like for you, and where you're to focus, and how you're to aim. And you'll see that the day that you thought you couldn't take, or that you didn't have time for, gave you back so much more than a day, that you saved weeks of suffering and anguish and mistakes that didn't have to happen. I mean, try it. Like, try it. You'll be surprised that what I'm telling you is accurate. That has been playing out in my life for 20 years now, since we started the long walk. So make sure that you do that. It is individual. It is contemplative. You do it alone, but you're doing it alone with thousands and thousands of brothers and sisters all over the world. So wherever you go, take a picture of where you were. Maybe a selfie, maybe a video of where you were and what you did and what you heard. And we create a post at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Audio Bible, for the long walk. And you can comment in that post. Post your pictures into that post. And all of a sudden, we have open windows into each other's lives. We get to see each other. We get to hear each other. We get to look at the beauty of nature, like, all around the world in one day, all happening on one day. It is really a beautiful experience. So make plans for that on the 7th of July. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. I want to lift up a prayer request from Trisha, who's calling for prayer for a job, as well as her marriage and just some general stability so that her life can start to begin to go back to quote unquote normal. And there's things she wants to do, like take care of her mom. So Lord, we lift up Trisha. We ask that you just hold her heart, Lord. Let her know you're there. Strengthen her faith. Fill her heart with grace and energy and joy. Let her just rest and cast her weariness to your feet, Lord, and just rest in the joy of salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for her practically, Lord. We pray that you would provide a job for her even by the end of this month that would be a good fit for her, would be fulfilling, would be life-giving, and she would be happy and joyful to go to it. And we pray that you open doors for her mother to come live with her, Lord, that you provide the stability that the government or whoever needs to see to allow her mother to come live with her, Lord. We just pray for reconciliation and unity among the family with the marriage and the mother and everyone involved, Lord. We just pray that she would look back at this time and look at your provision and just thank you for your provision, Lord. Let her expectations just be surrendered to you and let her lean on you for what's next. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Hello. This is Trusting the Lord One Day at a Time. Would you join me in prayer for myself and my husband who has dementia? Father in heaven, I lift up my husband to you, and I ask that you would restore his brain to normal and bring healing to his mind and body in the land of the living. But if that is not your will, in your mercy, please bring healing in heaven. I also lift up myself, and I ask for healing in my nervous system and my adrenals. I did a blood donation, and the stress in my personal life resulted in the blood donation stressing my nervous system. I'm dealing with breathing issues and anxiety issues as a result and feeling easily overwhelmed in my life circumstances. I lift these details up to the Father, and I trust that by His stripes I am healed and I'm restored stronger than ever. My blood and my nervous system are completely healed and functioning normally. Thank you, Father, that you are in the details of this journey, and you have already gone before me and my husband, and you've prepared a path of healing for my husband and myself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for praying. I really appreciate it. And I join each of you also in your prayer request. May God's blessing be over each one of you.
Hey, DAV family. It's your sister, Ashley, from California. And I just wanted to call in and update you. I am really behind, but that is okay because, you know, God can do all things to bring himself glory. And, you know, sometimes you need that message at a different time. But I wanted to update you all on a few things and ask you for prayer. The first thing is I am currently 29 weeks pregnant with my two little twins, a little girl and a little boy. We're looking at a scheduled C-section, either in the middle of August. So please pray for me to be able to carry them until then in order to prepare and in order to make sure that I can, cover the finances that our household needs, for that time. So please pray for that. Also, I need you guys to please pray for me about for a couple of the men in my life. If you could please pray for my dad, Doug. Dad, as you all know, he is a 5-year stroke survivor. but infections recently have been getting the best of him, and deconditioning and needing support and needing a caregiver. And I really would appreciate you guys praying for us to be able to have the support in order to take care of my dad. And then I also need your prayers for my brother, Cody. He is suffering with depression and finding some purpose and finding a position that can help him move forward in life. So if you could be praying for us, I would really appreciate it, DAB family. I love you all. I am praying. I am behind, but I am here, and I love you. Love your sister, Ashley, from California.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in, and I wanted to let you know I'm praying for all of you in the background. And today I really want to lift up Lisa, the encourager, with her new diagnosis of breast cancer. Lord, that you would heal her. And we thank you, Lord, that she is your testimony for her peace and trust in you, that you will do this for her. I'd also like to pray for the woman, Deshae, I believe, who's got tongue surgery coming up. It sounds like it's going to be very special opportunity for the Lord to work in her life and heal her totally. So we thank you, Lord, for that healing that you're going to take, have in her life. I would also like to lift prayers for Candid in her upcoming trip in August to the African New Life community, where she and others will be ministering and praying and leading them to the Lord. We ask you to protect them with good health and that their mission would be accomplished as only you could do. I'd also like to lift up Dwayne from Wisconsin and his family and his children and his uncle who needs is getting a dialysis for his kidney. Lord, we pray that you would heal his kidneys. Lord, we pray that you would heal his heart and he would know you too, Lord. And for his children, Lord, they would come to know you and love you and worship you just as their father does and mother. I'd also like to lift up Heather in Tennessee, who's called in. She's got a lot on her plate. Her husband is starting his own company, and she's a homeschooling mother and would like to continue to do that, but she needs to find a way to get a job that would work around that. So, Lord, you know the details, and you love this family, and you want to bless them. We pray, Lord, that you fill them with your peace and your wisdom as they make all these decisions. And for all the unspoken prayers that have not been voiced yet, Lord, we thank you that you heal them. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for your love. And as it says in Psalm 32, we cry out.
Hi, this is Justify Now in North Carolina, and it is June 23rd. And I'm calling because I heard Mary from North Carolina on the community prayers. I think it was June 20th. I think it was. But anyway, I've called to pray for Mary. Precious Father, in Jesus' name, we come thanking you for your many blessings that you have let us see. Thank you for your bigness, your all-knowingness. Thank you for being who you are in our lives. And Lord, I lift up Mary from North Carolina who called in for prayer, who called in and requested prayer for clarity, peace, wisdom, insight, and a decision concerning remaining in a fellowship, current fellowship that she's in. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would open up the eyes of her understanding, that she may know her next step. Holy Spirit, lead and guide her into truth. May a knowing rise up within her from the inside. Let that knowing rise up that she will know the path to take, and it will be crystal clear about what to do. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in my sister's life. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, flood her heart. And Mary from North Carolina, I'd just like to say your comments spoke to me because I'm going through a similar situation. So I say from one Mary in North Carolina to another Mary in North Carolina, I speak Jeremiah 33:3 over our lives.
Good morning, DAB family. I'd like to pray for the woman who is going to undergo surgery for cancer of the tongue and is going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for this woman. Lord, I thank you, God, that she will have peace and no fear. Lord, that you will guide and direct the surgeons and the anesthesiologists. Lord, that the swelling will go down remarkably, Lord, that she will be able to breathe and eat and swallow. Lord, I thank you, God, that you will deliver her of this cancer completely, fully. Guide the surgeon's hands. And Lord, you know, why not? Lord, heal her completely so that when they get to the table, it isn't as bad as they think, or she doesn't even need it. Lord, I thank you, God. She is the healed of the Lord. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you touch her. You want her well. Lord, thank you, God, for healing for her in the name of Jesus. And a final note, Brian and Jill and all the staff, thank you for making this app VoiceOver ready. Many people don't think about other people who have visual impairments, so I want to thank you for doing what you do and for making this app available for blind people. Thanks so very much. Have a great day.